Our scripture reading today is from Proverbs chapter 21, verses 5 and 20. Hear the word of God. The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to want. Precious treasure remains in the house of the wise, but the fool devours it. The word of God for the people of God.
To be here. I've been gone for 2 weeks. I had confirmation weekend, and that was delightful, being a part of that. And then last week, I was just on vacation in Austin. I was actually a conference husband, and that was kind of fun. And so, but I come back, and full disclosure, now most of y'all know me. I'm like in your face, get into your personal space and all that stuff. And, today I'm not feeling too good, so if I don't shake your hand or come up and hug you and get in your personal space, please forgive me. So that's why I'm kind of self-quarantined back here, okay? So just put it. But when something happens and you all of a sudden feel it at 8 o'clock on Saturday night before you're supposed to preach on Sunday morning, just doesn't work well. So you just power through it. So that's what we're going to be working on today, and I'm bringing the stool up because I want to use this Sunday. And what Tom and I are preaching about is we're preaching about your finances. And really kind of want to dialogue with you about that. We right now have the financial university going on. And that happens on Monday nights for those people who do struggle with how to order their finances. And so we're focusing a lot on that. We're going to be dealing with the budget for the church. And so if you hold on, we don't always preach about money, but today we are. And probably tomorrow. I mean next Sunday. Okay? So let me go ahead and pray. Lord, we come before you once again, and we do ask that you would give us ears to hear, minds to think, and a heart that receives the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may be filled up to overflowing today as we go into the new week. May you give us wisdom in all the choices we have to make. For we give this time to you. Use us as we leave this place in due time. Come, Holy Spirit, for it's in Christ we pray. Amen. So I'm going to use an illustration. I'm going to use a kind of a crude illustration, I guess. I don't know. I have some chocolate. How many of y'all like chocolate? Yeah, y'all are happy people. Okay. So I had to talk to Anastasia and say, Anastasia, this chocolate stays in the altar. So thank you, Anastasia, for not taking it. Before the sermon. So I got two kinds. And so think about this. We're going to look at culture for a second before we do a video. And, some of y'all, when somebody says, hey, I'm selling these chocolate bars. And this chocolate bar is $2. Now, part of that money goes to helping somebody. And so this is a $2 Hershey's bar, milk chocolate. How many of y'all like Hershey's milk chocolate? Raise your hand. Okay, good. Okay. Now, I have, if you would like, a Lindt diamond chocolate for $8. How many of y'all would like that? Okay. We live in a culture, I think, in which most of us can afford the $3 Hershey bar. Okay, so you pull $3 out of your pocket and you're ready to go. But most of us want the better chocolate bar. And when we only have $3 in our pocket and the chocolate bar is $8, we've got a problem. So say Greg over here, where's Greg? Where is he? There he is. So Greg over there, he wants this chocolate bar, but he only has $3 in his pocket. So he says, I want it, Pastor. Okay, give me $8. Well, I don't have $8. And then all of a sudden, Chris Shanefield says, okay, I'll give him some money. I'll give him $2. I'll let him borrow it. And I need 10 cents on the dollar. 20 cents. So now the bar is what? $8.20. But then another person comes up and say, Bill LaBar's over there. And he says, okay, I will give him another $2, but I'm going to charge him 27%. Do you know what that is? Credit card interest rate. Every time you do not pay your bill of the credit card, you will probably get charged $14.99 to 27 to 35% a year on that money. So collectively, if Greg says, okay, I'll go ahead and take that credit card rate, this $8 cigar. Oh, well, where's Ron Hines when you need him? Chocolate bar now goes from like $8 to $10.20, but you still only have $3. We live in a culture where we think bigger is better, and we're willing to go charge it in order to do it to our peril. And so basically what we do is we live in a consumer society that says spend, spend, spend. Let's spend through our economy even though people are going broke. And so in some ways, we're kind of like the prodigal son. And I'm going to read that scripture to you. And I want to say, prodigal, when you think about prodigal, some people think about it as the lost child. But prodigal does not mean that. Basically, the idea of prodigal, it means to spend money or resources freely and recklessly. Wildly extravagant. So the prodigal son, in the receiving of the money from the dad, went out and spent wild and extravagantly to the point that he had no more money. And so he's left there destitute, and he's slopping around with the pigs because he got caught up in the consumer society, much like us. Now, there are some of you I know. You have a big bank vault in your house. It's there. A dump truck comes and pours money in it about every week or every month. And all you do is you go in, you unlock it, you take a shovel and you bring it out and say, okay, I can spend this, go for it. I know most of you are like that. But for those of you who are not, and you only have $3 that you can pay, but you want that $10 chocolate bar, are you willing to go broke to get it in our consumer society? And so as you understand the prodigal son, it's about God's grace and God's forgiveness on that son as he comes back. And so the other type of culture I believe that we need to be looking at as people is not being a part of the consumer society, but taking seriously, I have $3 in my pocket. That $3 Hershey bar will suit me fine. And realize that you are in a giving culture, being a part of the Christian community. So the idea is that rather than always paying money to get and to take, you're ready to live within your means, but it sets you up to be able to give, both financially, of your talents, of your care, so that people can receive what God has to give them through you. Now, we can take that culture, and there's one level of culture that we're going to deal with today. And that's the returning culture. So you're going to be learning about the church budget, and you're going to be learning about the needed gifts. But if you think about it, there's the consumer culture, which is basically selfish. There's the giving culture that's basically other-ish. But then there's the returning culture, where what you have has been given to you by God, whether it is the finances, the talents, the job, all because God created you, has come from God. And then all that you do is returning to God in thankfulness. So when you tithe, you're not just giving, you're returning to God a portion of what God has given you. When you're out there and you're using one of your talents to help somebody else, you're giving somebody, but you're returning to God how God has made you as a creation. And so I don't know where you fall in this perspective, but I can tell you, having been a mortgage finance loan officer for 12 years in between churches, that most people really struggle with being a part of this consumer society. And you're going to hear a video right now of some couples that got to understand what this all meant. So Safer, if you would please play this.
We were chained to the credit cards, not to each other.
Money is the number one cause of divorce in North America. People don't think about how much stress it can cause.
I didn't really share a lot of my money. Whenever I had money, I would use it as soon as possible for myself.
We applied for credit cards, and it was just so easy to just get whatever we wanted.
We made a lot of assumptions. We were not communicating effectively.
We didn't really think that we needed a routine. We were just living life and swiping the card and, oh, you spent money on that? You know, that kind of thing.
Normal.
Yeah.
I was kind of at odds with my wife, and I was protective and I was defensive of my money. I felt that I might not get it back if I use it in certain ways. I wanted to make sure I was spending it the way I wanted.
We sometimes got to a point where instead of attacking the issue, we would attack each other or cast blame on each other. I was rationalizing that must be Elaine's fault. It's not me.
As it was, I was the one that was paying the bills, and we were not communicating.
We lived in a very reactive and short-term manner because that's all we knew how to do.
On a payday, we paid the minimum payment on all the bills, paid our utilities, made our house payment, but there was nothing else left. Not a dime to go get groceries. We knew we had to get ourselves back on track.
He walked in the door and he's like, "We need to talk." We sat down and said to each other, "We have a problem."
I think that you can be held back if you don't properly prioritize your money because you don't have money prepared to use in certain situations. You don't have a plan for your money.
In the beginning, it was difficult to make change on how we viewed our money and how we spent it.
Any new habit pattern that you want to get into, it's hard, right? Everybody goes to the gym on January 1st, but on January 4th, you're sore. We knew it was hard, but we also knew that it was going to be worth it.
Communication. That's the key.
We have a monthly budget meeting. Any financial decisions, we sit down and we discuss it and we make the decision together.
I relinquished control of my money and now I share that in my marriage with my wife so that we can work together to use our money as a tool for building a better life.
Our lives have changed in that we're much more peaceful. The joy is there because the stress isn't. You don't have those little things taking away at the income that God has given you to manage. You're able to give extravagantly. And instead of worrying about, can I give this $10 donation? It's like, how much should we give?
You can go help someone else, and that's what makes it fun.
Our giving now is awesome.
It's rewarding on levels that really can't be explained. You have to experience it to totally appreciate and understand what's going down.
God calls you to give, to exercise that muscle. When you exercise those muscles, it makes you a more patient person. It makes you a more understanding and compassionate person.
It's just an overwhelming feeling that we finally are at a place in our life that we are able to do this, to give what we can or to help someone that's in need.
And to me, that was a really powerful vignette from families within our own church. And we don't think about this. We think that when we have money and we spend it and we're buying this for our child, we're buying this for ourselves, we're getting that and we're getting that, we feel like we've got freedom. This feels good. Until the bills start stacking up. Until the interest rate kicks in at 27%. And you have a $5,000 credit card bill, and you're only able to pay $150 on it a month. Racking up 27% a month, how long do you think it's going to take to pay that off? But yet we still keep adding on. What we don't realize is when we get into that consumer mentality where this chocolate bar is far better, so I've got to have this, so I've got to go into debt for this, and those all add up, that we are actually creating a bondage for ourselves. We're truly not free. We become in bondage to the creditors. And so we wanted to highlight this idea of staying within your means and realizing that being in the giving and returning culture actually frees you up out of that debt bondage. And you can still live really well. So we've come up with some ideas and just being very practical for you. And so you're going to see some slides come up. And go ahead and show the first slide. And I want to read this to you. And this is what we want you to grasp. Okay? A part of getting your financial life together is by bringing order into that financial life. So I remember when I first started out, and this was 40 years ago. I'm older than some of y'all, but younger than some of you, thank God. But I remember starting off, and eventually we got, my wife and I, we ended up using envelopes. So remember, this is before electronic banking. So we were heavily paid cash, or we used credit cards. So in order for us to get ourselves under where we needed to be and live within our means, we started to have about 20 envelopes. And so we would put $20 in entertainment. We would put $500 in rent. And we would always put money in these different envelopes. And so we'd go into the envelope. And when we ran out, guess what? Did we use our credit card? No, because we didn't have any. We used our common sense and realized that we've run out of money for that. We either reallocate it from a different place, or we just don't go out for the rest of the month. And we survived. And so as we went along with that, we started to see our savings grow. And we lived within our means. And as our savings grew and enough was there, we could do other things. Because we realized if we saved 10%, we gave 10%, we lived off of 80%, we would do very well. And that's what we did. And so the first thing to get in order is return to God. Remember, return? Return to God your tithe and offering. Now, who knows what a tithe is? Raise your hand. What's a tithe? Go ahead and speak up. 10%. That's right. So the idea is that you give 10% of your income to God, whether it's through the church or maybe some ministries, but the idea is you funnel it through the church that you're a part of. Now, we can debate whether you do it pre-tax or after-tax or what spectrum in the tax part. The idea is, okay, the theme is 10%. Now realize that there are people in here that you haven't been giving much at all. Matter of fact, there are probably some in here that give more to the waitress or waiter at lunch than you do to the church. And your kids come here, and they get taught. They get loved on. You get loved on. You get taught. But that waitress or waiter will receive more than this church will. Do you think that's good? It's not. So I want you to rethink. If you're in that boat, you might not be able to do 10%, but you know what? Maybe you can start by putting $20 in an envelope. And when the offering plate comes around, give the $10. Give the $20. Start somewhere so that you're contributing. But also realize that if you say, I think I'll give, I'll wait because I want to see what the bills are going to be like. When you put your giving last, you will never have enough. Because you will go through it all and realize, oh, well, I can't give that $20. Oh, man, I don't have any more money. So you always give it at the beginning of the month. You've got it taken care of. I gave. And you know what? And I'm going to get down here a little bit. I don't want to, I'm going to get right over here. Then you can say, I gave. And you can get that smile on your face because you gave something. You 10%ers, I gave. I can't tell you how much I love, and I'm old school. I want to give it in the offering plate. You young schoolers, you're going to give it online. That's fine. But I like seeing it go in the offering plate. And so when you do that, that tithe, whatever it is, a tithe is 10%, but just start doing that. Do it at the beginning of the month. So you do that first. Okay, what's the next one? Next slide. Okay, create a. Now, we debated on this in staff, and I said something. I said, how many of y'all like a budget? Isn't that great? I love a budget. I can't stand a budget. I don't like the term. I like spending plan. Because I want to learn how to spend it when I've got it. So I create a spending plan and track my expenses. And I really do that. So if we go out to dinner, we do this or we do that, I save the receipt on everything. And then I monitor what we're spending on and seeing where expenses are going. You might, even if you have the Chase app, you do all this cool stuff with percentages. But a spending plan gives you the ability to be diligent and what you're spending on, and keep you on the right track. Next one. Okay, blank your lifestyle. Live below your means. That's simplify. Now, for some of you, that's kind of a nasty word. You don't like that. Simplify? What does that mean? Simply put, if you can afford a Lent chocolate bar, you go ahead and do it. There are people in here who can spend $8 on this chocolate bar, enjoy it, share it with everybody else. If you've got the finances to do that, you do that. If you've got the finances to buy the Volvo or the Mercedes, do that. But if you don't, stick with the Hershey's. Simplify your life to be able to live within your means. So you do not become in bondage to the financiers. Simplify your lifestyle. Next one. Establish, and this is really important, establish an emergency fund. So you are with young children, and when they break their arm, and you have to go to the hospital, and you got to pay the deductible, where's that money coming from? Like me, when my wife takes me to the doctor because I got the sniffles like your 5-year-old child does right now, That money's got to come from somewhere. And if you have to take it out of your regular monthly money because you're living month to month, it's going to knock something else out of kilter. So my recommendation to you is each month, 10% to savings, 10% to tithe, 80% to the rest of everything else. But you may think about a 5% to an emergency fund to cover those expenses. See, when you start making a plan and putting an order to your expenses, it's going to give you a freedom that you haven't realized before. A freedom in God, a freedom with others, and a freedom inside yourself. Go to the next one. And this is a good one. Pay off your credit cards. Okay, how many of y'all have credit cards? Raise your hand. Go ahead. We pretty much all do. That's our society. I've got to watch out for time because I know I need to close up. But this is real important. Your credit score is determined by how you pay your bills. That's on your credit report. So if you pay your bill 30 days late, it's going to ding you severely on your credit report. So the idea is you want to buy a house, you're giving to God, you're putting 10% away here, and now you want to buy a house, but your credit score is 550, 580, 600. And you wake up one day and you think, I'm going to buy a house today. No, you're not. What most people don't realize is that when you don't pay your credit cards and you only pay the minimums, remember, you're going to get tacked on 14.99% or 27% interest rate on what you have charged. Now, what will happen with that is when you get over at least 30% on your credit card of your high limit, it starts chipping away at your credit report. If you have credit cards that are at 90% of your limit, it has just washed away 50 points off your credit score. And so if you have three cards, the idea is, I'm going to let you know, is you spread the wealth, trying to keep it under 50% of that high limit, and you will find your credit score get better. And so it's very important, though, to think about pay off your credit cards. And if you have a number of them, there's a couple different philosophies. Chip that away, pay the smallest one off first. After you pay that off, take that money and put it toward another one. I recommend pay off those credit cards that are the highest percentage rate. Because that high percentage rate drains your money. Pay off your credit cards. And then finally, practice long-term savings and investing habits purposefully. There's a gentleman I know. I'm 28 years old. And he's been working now for 5 years. He puts 20% in his 401k as a young person who's not married. At 28, he already has $150,000 in his 401k and has purchased a house, has paid a lot of that, bought himself a car, paid it off within 2 years because he's ordered his money. And so he's got a 401k now at 28 at $150,000. When he gets 55, just think what that 401k could be for that retirement. Because at some time, you're going to stop working. Whether it's health reasons or because you just want to. And you're going to need money to retire. Do you realize $2,200 a month Social Security isn't going to cut it? Especially if you're 30 and in another 35 years you're going to be ending work. So you've got to do purposeful habits right now in order to align your life so that you can live fruitfully for the rest of your life. And so as a congregation, as church, we want to help you to be able to realize that. We want you to realize that giving and returning to God is a priority for our Christianity and our relationship with God and with one another. But then how you order your finances is so important for you to live life thriving and not in bondage. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you and we realize that the life is precarious and it happens. And sometimes when it happens, we're caught unawares. So Lord, help us, each and every one of us, to come into line with what is good and what is purposeful. As we look at our lives and the life we're going to live, help us to focus on giving and returning to you, but also help us to focus on how we spend, how we consume, that we may step into a giving and returning culture rather than being stuck in a consumer culture. So Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit, give us your wisdom in all of this. For it's in Christ we pray. We all say, amen. Amen.